విద్మహేరించి పత్న్యై చ ధీమహి తన్నో వాణీ ప్రచోదయాత్. గణేశాయ నమః, సరస్వత్యై నమః, శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః, హరిః ఓం. కరోతి రూపాణి రూపాణి కరోతి, కరోతి రూపాణి జ్యోతి జ్యోతి రూపాణి కరోతి, కరోతి రూపాణి జ్యోతి రూపాణి జ్యోతి జ్యోతి రూపాణి రూపాణి జ్యోతి రూపై రూపై జ్యోతి రూపాణి రూపాణి జ్యోతి రూపై జ్యోతి రూపై రూపై జ్యోతి జ్యోతి రూపై రేవైవ రూపై జ్యోతి జ్యోతి రూపై రేవ రూపై రేవైవ రూపై రూపై రేవై నామే నామేవ రూపై రూపై రేవై ఏవై నామే నామేవై వై నాగుంసగుంసమే నామేవై వై నాగుంసం ఏ నాగుంసగుంసమే నామే నాగుంసమర్ధయత్యర్ధయతి సమే నామే నాగుంసమర్ధయతి సమర్ధయత్యర్ధయతి సగుంసమర్ధయతి తస్యాస్తస్య అర్ధయతి సగుంసమర్ధయతి తస్య అర్ధయతి తస్యాస్తస్య అర్ధయత్యర్ధయతి తస్య ఉపోత్థాయోపోత్థాయ తస్య అర్ధయత్యర్ధయతి తస్య ఉపోత్థాయ తస్య ఉపోత్థాయోపోత్థాయ తస్యాస్తస్య ఉపోత్థాయ కర్ణం కర్ణముపోత్థాయ తస్యాస్తస్య ఉపోత్థాయ కర్ణం ఉపోత్థాయ కర్ణం కర్ణముపోత్థాయోపోత్థాయ కర్ణమా కర్ణముపోత్థాయోపోత్థాయ కర్ణమా ఉపోత్థాయేత్యుప ఉత్థాయ కర్ణమా కర్ణం కర్ణమా జపే జపేదా కర్ణం కర్ణమా జపే ఆ జపే జపేదా జపేతి డైడే జపేదా జపేతిడే జపేతిడైడే జపే జపేతి ఢేరంతే రంధైడే జపే జపేతి ఢేరంతే ఇడేరంతేరంతైడైడేరంతే దితే దితేరంతైడైడేరంతే దితే రందే దితే దితేరంతే రంతే దితే సరస్వతి సరస్వత్యదితే రంతేరంతే దితే సరస్వతి అదితే సరస్వతి సరస్వత్యదితే దితే సరస్వతి ప్రియే ప్రియే సరస్వత్యదితే దితే సరస్వతి ప్రియే సరస్వతి ప్రియే ప్రియే సరస్వతి సరస్వతి ప్రియే ప్రేయసి ప్రేయసి ప్రియే సరస్వతి సరస్వతి ప్రియే ప్రేయసి ప్రియే ప్రేయసి ప్రేయసి ప్రియే ప్రియే ప్రేయసి మహి మహి ప్రేయసి ప్రియే ప్రియే ప్రేయసి మహి ప్రేయసి మహి మహి ప్రేయసి ప్రేయసి మహి విశ్రుతి విశ్రుతి మహి ప్రేయసి ప్రేయసి మహి విశ్రుతి మహి విశ్రుతి విశ్రుతి మహి మహి విశ్రుత్యేతాన్యేతాని విశ్రుతి మహి మహి విశ్రుత్యేతాని విశ్రుత్యేతాన్యేతాని విశ్రుతి విశ్రుత్యేతాని తేత ఏతాని విశ్రుతి విశ్రుత్యేతాని తే విశ్రుతి ఇది శ్రుతి ఏతాని తేత ఏతాన్యేతాని తే ఆగ్నియే అగ్నియేత ఏతాన్యేతాని తే అగ్నియే తే అగ్నియే అగ్నియే తే తే అగ్నియే నామాని నామాన్యగ్నియే తే తే అగ్నియే నామాని అగ్నియే నామాని నామాన్యగ్నియే అగ్నియే నామాని సుకృతకుం సుకృతం నామాన్యగ్నియే అగ్నియే నామాని సుకృతం నామాని సుకృతకుం సుకృతం నామాని నామాని సుకృతం మామా సుకృతం నామాని నామాని సుకృతం మా సుకృతం మామా సుకృతకుం సుకృతం మా దేవేషు ब्रह्म देवेशो सुकृतमितिसु कृतम् मा देवेशु देवेशु मामा देवेशु ब्रूदात् ब्रूदात् देवेशु मामा देवेशु ब्रूदात् देवेशु ब्रूदात् ब्रूदात् देवेशु देवेशु ब्रूदादिते ब्रूदात् देवेशु देवेशु ब्रूदादिते ब्रूदादिते ब्रूदात् ब्रूदादिते देवेभ्यो देवेभ्य इति ब्रूदात् ब्रूदादिते देवेभ्यः इति देवेभ्यो देवेभ्य इति देवेभ्य एवैव देवेभ्य इति देवेभ्य एव देवेभ्य एवैव देवेभ्यो देवेभ्य एवैनमेव देवेभ्यो देवेभ्य एवैनम् एवैनमेवैवैनमैनमेवैवै नम एनमै नमे नम वेदयति वेदयत्यैन मे नम वेदयति आवेदयति वेदयत्यावेदयत्यन्मनु वेदयत्यावेदयत्यनु वेदयत्यन्मनु वेदयति वेदयत्यन्वेन मे नमनु वेदयति वेदयत्यन्वेनम् अन्वेन मे नमन्मन्वेनम् देवा देवाभ्ये नमन्मन्वेनम् देवा एनम् देवा देवाभ्येनमेनम् देवा बुध्यन्ते बुध्यन्ते देवाभ्येनमेनम् देवा बुध्यन्ते देवा बुध्यन्ते बुध्यन्ते देवा देवा बुध्यन्ते बुध्यन्त इति बुध्यन्ते
कात्यायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारी धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गी प्रचोदयात् लेट अस रियलाइज गॉडेस कात्यायनी द शक्ति प्राइमोडियल लेट अस प्रे टू देवी कन्याकुमारी टू गिव अस द हाईएस्ट इंटेलेक्ट एंड मे दैट दुर्गा इल्यूमिन अस विथ लव एंड ग्रेटिट्यूड आई ऑफर My humble salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, Sai Ram to one and all present here. The Navratri festival is observed by contemplating on Goddess for 10 days, cleansing oneself of all the impurities to experience the divinity within. These were the golden words of our beloved Bhagwan during one of his discourses on the occasion of Navratri. On the sixth day of Navratri, it is Goddess Katyayani who is worshipped. Mother Parvati took the form of Goddess Katyayani in order to destroy the demon Mahishasura. In this form, she is also called the warrior goddess. Our Bhagwan has said, and I quote, Navratri is a festival to commemorate the victory of good over evil. The embodiment of divine power in its various manifestations, sattvic, rajasic and tamasic, was able to overcome the forces of vice, wickedness and egoism during the 9 days struggle and finally on Vijayadashmi, the valedictory worship is done. I unquote. Our Mother Sai has blessed each one of us with her divine teachings in the simplest and the most profound ways. As we all have gathered here to celebrate this glorious festival of Navratri, let us make an attempt to put these teachings into practice by following the path of Dharma and destroying evil qualities within us. Now, moving on to the fourth day of Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha, we have the honor of listening to two eminent speakers. I take this opportunity to introduce the speakers for today. The first speaker is Ms. U. Suma Rao, Assistant Professor, Department of Commerce, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur Campus. Ms. Rao joined the institute as an intermediate student and went on to do her BCom honors and B.Ed. courses. After completion of her studies, she joined the institute as a teacher in the year 1998 and is currently working as Assistant Professor in the Department of Commerce, Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur Campus. Madam has submitted her doctoral thesis on the work-life balance and gender bias. Madam has deep interests in the field of fine arts. She has been the recipient of the all-round gold medal from the Divine Hands in the year 1990 and also the prestigious Sai Krishna Award for teaching in the year 2012. Today, she will be speaking to us about the concept of Purusha and Prakriti, some practical insights. The second speaker is Professor A. Anant Raman, Honorary Professor, Department of Management Studies, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanti Nilayam Campus. Professor Anant Raman completed his mechanical engineering, followed by a master's in business administration, and pursued his advanced management program from the Harvard Business School. Professor Anant Raman did his PhD from the Columbia University. He has held senior positions as CEO with multinational companies in Asia, Europe, Africa, and USA, spanning a period of 40 years. Professor's teaching experience has been phenomenal as he has taught in several business schools in India and abroad. Currently, he is teaching at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanti Nilayam Campus. He was also an advisor to several West African governments on industrial policies and was also the UN Habitat nominee for the World Water Forum. Above all, Professor Anant Raman has been an ardent devotee of Bhagwan for the last 40 years. Today, he will be speaking to us on the topic Bhagwan's Life and Message. I now request the speakers to address the gathering in the order mentioned.
My humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, dear students, Sai Ram to all of you. Bhagwan always tells us that the Indian cultures and spiritual tradition is a veritable gold mine, and we must delve deep into it. Pick some noble truths and ideals, follow them, and sanctify our lives. Truly, the Indian culture and tradition is like a vast ocean. It has in itself multiple schools of thought. The breadth of this tradition is really vast. And these range from Advaita to Shakta schools. We have 6 orthodox schools of philosophy, some unorthodox schools of philosophy. And each one of these schools are distinct and developed in terms of their metaphysics or epistemology or axiology. In terms of depth, a person may come from any background, with any kind of mindset, may have different inclinations, but they will find something of value which will help them to scale higher heights in their noble pursuits. It is suitable for all forms of consciousness. That is the beauty of our culture. But for us, sometimes this is dizzying. The wide variety and its depth can intimidate us. But then we have Swami. Swami demystifies. He pulls out the essence, makes it into palatable doses, and allows us to taste of this culture, and allows us to practice it. And therefore, for us, Swami is be-all and end-all of everything. I thought that in this sacred days of Dashara, we must ruminate on some thoughts which are enshrined in our culture. And one such concept is that of Purusha and Prakriti. This concept, Swami has spoken about it extensively in the summer showers of 1972 and 79. Bhagwan has spoken about it, and he says many things. I'm going to tell you just a few. Swami says that the essence, or that which is indestructible, is the Purusha. And the matrix of the universe, which is made of the five sheets and the five elements, is Prakriti. Swami says the entire creation is feminine. It is Prakriti. Only God is Purusha. Swami also says that this essence and energy is within man, and therefore the Jivatma is the Purusha. And when we realize that truth, then we become Purushottama. Another amazing part about Indian culture is that it is strewn with clues, small little clues in the form of myths and stories, which help us to understand these truths and practice them. Take the common story of the demons. The goddess is seen as Mahishasura Mardini. And the whole of Shiva Puranas and the stories of Shakti have these demons who crop up. And they are very focused. They worship Shiva or Shakti. They get boons and they promptly misuse the boons. They use it in order to harm others, in order to disregard divinity. And when they do this and it reaches a crescendo, then the goddess, who is always benign and beautiful and giving, takes a terrifying form and she annihilates, she destroys and decimates the demons. But once she has taken that form, she's a raging tempest of destruction. And then it requires Shiva to remind her of her essence, and she calms down. If it is true that essence and energy is within us, probably this pattern happens in us. We have God-given energy, physical energy, mental energy, spiritual energy, psychic energy. And if we, in the pursuit of external purposes, misuse them, we create agitation. And the only way this agitation can subside is when we center and turn to the soul within. And the beautiful part is Swami has built this into our everyday life and culture. I'll just give an example to prove my point. Probably this is there in all institutions of Swami, but in Anandpur, I know for sure. The students have a practice of keeping a box of thoughts of Bhagwan, and they keep it in every room, and also in the altars in the college. Every time anybody wants an answer, or if one is feeling slightly agitated, or we want a confirmation, people go, sit there in front of Bhagwan, pray for a few seconds and pick up a chit from the box. And invariably, I think I've rarely seen people say that they didn't get an answer. And I've heard people say, you know, it's the very words that I thought which came in this answer. I had read once, Sri Aurobindo's disciple had asked him that he would often open Sri Aurobindo's books and find answers and if this was okay. And Sri Aurobindo explained, the entire creation has consciousness. The book has consciousness. The word has consciousness. And therefore, when you pray and keep that particular idea or prayer aloft, it kind of vibrates at a certain frequency and it pulls the answer towards it. And that is why you get your answers. The concept is that the essence and energy are related and they are within us. And therefore, centering is one lesson we can learn from the concept of Prakriti and Purusha. We have many other stories. Yet another popular story is that of Brahma, who covets his own creation and therefore Shiva beheads him. Brahma stands for the mind. And the mind, when it, with its compulsive thinking and its interpretation of sensory data, decides to control, then it's on the wrong path. And that is when God interferes. If we look at the internal lesson to learn from this, this is precisely what we do. We separate ourselves from the essence, and then that creates fear. And because we want to handle this fear, we start using our mind in making constructs to protect ourselves. Probably fear is the starting point of this. And like spider webs, we spin ideas and beliefs and situations, trying to handle what happens to us. Now, if God decides he can just put his finger through this cobweb and completely remove it, but he doesn't do that. He's so kind and so compassionate. He's the mother. He does not want to destroy our cobwebs. He coaxes us. He tells us sweetly and softly that no, you're more than this. Give up this fear. Turn towards God. Slowly realize who you are. I'd like to quote two personal examples to show you how Swami helps us to handle our tendency to protect ourselves through our mental convolutions. On one occasion, in an interview, Bhagwan suddenly asked me, "What do you want?" I said, "Swami, I want bhakti, I want devotion." And Swami asked me, "Why do you want devotion?" So I said to him, "Swami, all the time in life we have to make choices. Choices between you and me, perhaps. Lower self of me. Choices between you and something which is not as worthy. And therefore, I need devotion to focus. To choose correctly." And Swami shook his head and said, "No." He said, "You have already chosen this life. What is more to be chosen? There's nothing to be chosen. So this is the wrong thing to ask for." So since I didn't know what to ask for, I said, "Swami, you tell me what to ask for." And then Swami said, "Ask for obedience," he said. Obedience to what would be the question. The stories, as they show us, show that we sense this great sense of fear because we are separated, and that is why we use our mental powers to complicate our lives. So, the first thing to be addressed is fear. And Swami says, he reminds us and he loves us so that we overcome that fear. then we are ready to learn to obey. And the obedience is that we must slowly bend other parts of ourselves towards our essence. Have I done that? I cannot say that. There's much more to learn. But yes, this was an important lesson. Another situation which happened again in an interview. I remember I was very desperate then and I closed my eyes and in my mind I was thinking, Swami, whatever I am, incomplete, full of some baggage of I don't know how many lifetimes, with my faults, I wish to offer it to you. I wish to give it all to you. And then whatever you do, it's okay. But right now, I just want to, you know, give away this baggage of the self to you. And when I opened my eyes, I saw Bhagwan outstretch his hands like this. Meaning to say, give it. I couldn't believe it, of course. But then I just put my fingers in a symbolic gesture, gave away whatever was me. And Swami closed his fist and pulled his arm towards himself and said, Ichcheseva, have you given it? He's God. He knows every thought that passes through our head. He knows every intention that is in our... So the conversation always begins at any point and it's relevant. When he said that, I nodded because I was so overcome with tears. And then Swami said in Telugu that, then do not ask the question why. That was what he said. The question why, the reason, we always want to know reasons. We want to know why this happened, why me, why not this, why not that. And as if those meanings and that understanding give us security. That's why we ask those questions. And so Swami challenged that very notion. He said, if you want to get into this path, then stop asking the question why. Today in the newspaper I was reading about the particular passage written about this festival. And the lady who wrote it says that the Mahishasura, he used to change forms continuously. And so to kill him was difficult. And that is symbolic of our ego, which is a slippery thing. The ego keeps on changing its voice and acting up and not letting us pinpoint it to even attack it. So we need an ally, and that ally is only God. Only God can help us through this difficult battle with ourselves. So the second lesson we learn from the concept of Prakriti and Purusha is that of alignment. The need to remove our egoic self so that the Shakti principle in us, energy and essence, become a unified whole. And this perhaps is the principle of Ardhanarishvara. We haven't reached that state, but we have seen that in Bhagwan all the time. Bhagwan embodies this complete perfection. He was totally involved in action all the time. And yet there is a part of him which is always detached, a witness to things. He was Shiva, he was Shakti, always. And if we look at our experience of it, you know, we do very mundane tasks sometimes. You know, we make cards for Swami, we distribute laddus, we do all these tasks, small tasks, which would probably never be noticed. But when they are with him, they gain meaning. Because God is essence, anything that surrounds God gains essence, meaning. So that is a direct experience of meaning that we have in our lives. If today we look back and think of all the moments when we were intensely alive, it will be always in the presence of God. Swami is there, everybody has to be present. His aura is so strong that it will force us all to be. And energy, don't we feel that? Whatever be our fatigue, mental, emotional, physical, the minute you see him, it vanishes. Energy flows into us. So he is verily the embodiment of both essence and energy. So the three lessons which we can derive from this is centering, aligning, and awakening. All three of it are possible with Bhagwan. I would like to end this rumination with a small prayer that I wrote a year ago. And in this prayer, what I'm trying to say is that the thing about Swami is, when we come back to the memory of what we have with Swami, and each time we come back, we have journeyed a bit and we have learned something. So when we come back to the memory, we learn something more. We learn new things. And that is this eternal quality of God. So, the poem, sorry, just a minute. I reopen the creaking door. The sudden light reveals amid fine dust and silken cobwebs the familiarity of my forgotten home. My lingering glance embraces recollections of old joy, but I know these are new meanings changed with the wisdom of journeying. My home of love is different. The touch of your robe is more than refuge, it is a symbol of sacrifice. Your smile is more than reassurance, it's a reminder of self-acceptance. Your look is more than a source of strength, it is a reminder to look within. Now, your silence doesn't mean abandonment, it is just quiet acknowledgement. Now, the world is not scary, it's a background. You are the essence. Now, I need not struggle to reach, I just have to be, knowing that I'm draped in your love. I reopen the creaking door. The sudden light reveals the richness of what was always there. Jai Sai Ram, thank you for your...
With love and reverence at the feet of Sai. This is the week of Navratri, a time when the cosmic energy of Devi, as represented by Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati, is most vibrant. During this week, workmen clean their tools of trade. Children begin their quest for learning. And legend has it that in such a week as this, Pandavas began to be battle ready for the battle of Kurukshetra. All in all, this is a very significant period in our calendar. And Prashanthi Nilayam used to reach the heights of grandeur when on the ninth day, the Vedapurusha himself accepted the Purnavati. It's now the fourth year that we are performing the Saptahanyana Yajna in the absence of that Vedapurusha who presided over this from 1961 onwards. And as I look back for the last 3 years, several changes, both positive and negative, in action and in perception have taken place in these last 3 years. It has been 4 decades since I came to the feet of Sai. I came to him as an unbeliever, seeking to unravel what I thought was a myth I came to him as an agnostic, curious about his reported miracles. I came to him as a young man seeking advice and a career. I came to him demanding cures for illnesses and relief from distress. I also came to him with total surrender in my heart. To see him, I came to him from nearby Bangalore. I came to him from distant Mumbai. And during the 20 years I lived abroad, I maintained my annual 2-week pilgrimage to Prashantanilayam. During those 20 years, I was a visitor from abroad. The focus then was different. By the time you got used to the new change in texture, color and smell, it was time to go back. The emphasis then was to get as many darshans as you can under your belt. During one such occasion, Swami, after ignoring me completely during my stay, told me on the day of my departure, stay back and teach. And I stayed back, breaking all my official connections socially and in teaching with the United States by telephone from here. Then the emphasis changed when I stayed here. I could now sip to my heart's content at the fountain of divinity. I could drink in the esoteric wisdom so creatively presented at several of the student functions at Kulwant Hall. More than anything else, I could watch Swami at close quarters and observe this many-faceted gem shed several colors of the rainbow, each hue more resplendent than the other. But then all my attention, as indeed all your attention, was focused on the slight 5-foot-2-inch figure in the red robe that was on the stage, on Swami's persona, on the bhajans, on the darshans, not so much on the mission or the message. But after the Mahasamadhi, particularly after I volunteered to take on the responsibility of communicating with the media, which gave me a ringside seat and enabled me to observe all the happenings around the world, both the mission and the message took on a new meaning, a new hue. Frankly, I was wonderstruck at its size and vista. When Bhagavan walked the earth, he did not merely transform people. He also created a network of institutions, hospitals, university campuses, and Sevadal units. When the rest of the world was puzzled at this strange outreach for spirituality, Swami saw the relevance. And while the world was wondering, why did he create these disparate institutions, he was quietly sitting somewhere and connecting all the dots. And through a powerful connecting force, love, he created an institutional framework that consolidated, connected, and integrated these activities. Today, Sai Spiritual Organization operates in about 121 countries, with about 200,000 Sevadal volunteers and 600,000 concerned citizens, helping in all kinds of community activity, from washing a leper's wound to sweeping a slum, all done without any recompense and all done with complete love. Only now, in the physical absence of Swami, have I realized its might and sweep. It was as if I was sitting inside a mountain, unaware of its majesty. As if I was squatting at the bottom of an ocean, not aware of its sweep. It's almost as if the Mahasamadhi of April 24, 2011 has released Swami from the limitations of his physical form. Previously, mentally, we tended to restrict him to his physical frame. Today, we see his pervasiveness, all pervasiveness, through these several institutions that he has created. That was my first perception these 3 years. The second perception was this. Suddenly, I found a new meaning to his messages, a new dimension to his oft-repeated phrases. I was always aware that every word of Swami spoke always had a lot of relevance. Once, several years ago, during an interview, he asked me, "What do you want?" Not yet literate with anything lofty at that moment, I said simply, "Swami, give me a ring." Swami replied, "Go outside, pay 1 rupee and buy a ring." Annoyed, I decided that day that even if Swami offered me a ring later, I would decline it. Till one day, 30 years later, he saw me on the darshan line and asked me, "Where is your 1 rupee ring?" Swami had often said, "My life is my message." Many of us did not understand it. But we kept repeating it like a parrot, as if it's a cliche. As I look back, every action of Swami, every nuance is an education. And his life and living is truly a message. I ask my students of management to evaluate Swami as a manager, as an entrepreneur, as a leader. The results are amazing. The largest single qualities to succeed in these areas is empathy, alertness, and awareness. If you analyze Swami's life and draw an inference, in addition to empathy, you find these two qualities in abundance, alertness and awareness. The story is told of a Zen master who was conducting a session at the top of a hill. A disciple rushed to catch him before closing time, which was 15 minutes away. He rushed and just outside the hall scattered his footwear, went inside and prostrated before his master. The master surprised him with his next question. He asked him, "Where have you left your footwear when you came in? Did you leave it on the left side of the entrance or the right side of the entrance?" The confused disciple replied, "I do not remember. I was more interested in coming in to see you, Master." The Master told him, "If you cannot bring awareness to where you have kept your footwear, you are not ready to come in here yet. You need to bring awareness to every single aspect of your life." The quintessence of Swami's life and living focuses, among other things, on the simple matter of alertness and awareness. He has often said, "The past is history, the future is a mystery, the only thing that matters is the present." For Swami, nothing ever existed outside the present, and whatever happened in the past no longer mattered. Everything happens only now, he said, and he lived this concept. A few years ago, one day Swami was coming to darshan. One of the students, as he was coming to darshan, observed a piece of rubbish on the veranda. We then saw the student slowly getting up to remove it, but immediately pulling back. He was not sure whether he could dart in, remove the rubbish and dart out before Swami came to that spot. But he wanted to remove it, as it was in Swami's way. He was in a dilemma. He gets up, he sits down, and he gets up again. Will Swami come to the spot before I reach there? Will he? Won't he? That was the dilemma in his mind. While all this was going on, Swami arrives at the spot, bends down, picks the rubbish, calls the Sevadal, and drops the rubbish in the basket he brings. Mission accomplished, he moves away. No hesitation, no prevaricating, no doubting. This was a simple illustration, but epitomizes Swami's instantaneous reaction to events. His life was a continuous stream of such discontinuous moments. The great Zen master Rinzai, in order to take his attention of his students away from time, would often raise his hand and say, "What at this time is lacking?" In fact, Rumi, the great poet and the Sufi master, used to say, "Past and future veil God from our sight. Burn both of them with fire." On November 23rd, 1990, Swami dramatically announced that there will be a super specialty hospital at Prashantigram. Nobody else had a clue. In fact, when he heard it, Colonel Jogarao, who was responsible for construction activities at that time, was wondering where the resources were going to come from. A few years ago, Swami made another dramatic announcement one day in the one evening at Kulwant Hall. He said that the university will have a new campus at Mudanahalli and it will start functioning the next year. Even the Vice Chancellor then had no clue that the campus was going to be commence operating in the next 1 year. When he made these dramatic announcements, Swami was in fact burning up the past and future and challenging time. The basic driver to such an action is this: if not now, when? But that kind of now action should be done with total awareness, which is what Swami possessed every second of the day. Some time ago, we had designed an enterprise planning system for all the operations of the university, from admission to examinations to so that all the activities of the campuses can be seen in real time. We wanted Swami to launch the program. This was during the penultimate part of Swami's stay on this earth, when he appeared to be unwell for several days. With very great difficulty, we managed to get a slot of 5 minutes when Swami would be invited into the mandir. We would make a presentation and then ask Swami to launch the program. Came the appointed day. We had all set up the paraphernalia in the mandir. Swami was wheeled in and I hastily turned on the PowerPoint presentation and started to explain to Swami what was it all about. As expected, Swami appeared to be totally disinterested and even seemed listless. But we did not want to give up our privileged 10-minute time slot in the prime time, in the immediate presence of the Lord, and we continued. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Swami did not even seem to indicate that he wanted to move away from there. Further, he appeared to be wandered away somewhere. He was not there mentally. We were just talking, he was just sitting. My prepared presentation of 10 minutes being over, I had to ad-lib in substantial measure. I was certain that Swami was not listening to a single word of my prattle. He had perfected his art in the last few years. You could speak directly to him, but he could be completely turned off and just look through you. He had developed this. 1 hour and 10 minutes had passed. I was then projecting on the screen one of Swami's quotations we had used in one of the screenshots. And I was telling him this was a quotation from his convocation address. At this, Swami suddenly shot up and he corrected me in a firm tone. That was not from the convocation speech. That was from my talk to the Ananthapur college girls. We all learnt our lesson not to second guess Swami and assume that his attention was not with us. Another instance. Swami had asked a student to give a talk at the Kulwant Hall. Suddenly, just before the talk, Swami asked him to recite the Purusha Suktam. In this instance, Swami was very nervous. But Swami told him, "Don't worry, I will prompt you in case you forget any words." The student started, and after a few verses came to a grinding halt. He could not remember or recall. he looked pathetically at Swami. But Swami kept totally quiet. He did not even seem to be there mentally. The student thought that Swami had probably forgotten his promise and also had gone away on one of his mental trips. Somehow or other, he managed to finish his recitation. Just as he moved away, Swami called him and told him, "You thought I had forgotten to prompt you? Certainly not. I was only training you not to have stage fright. I cannot forget, for if I forget, the entire universe will come to a standstill." And just to prove this point, he called him aside and narrated to him his whole life story from the time he was born. The moral lesson in all these is that Swami was telling us, unlike what we had concluded, that he was intensely aware, alert, and conscious of the present moment. And this every minute of his waking hours. In the absence of time, all problems dissolve. And Swami was a perfect exponent of this power of now. Try this. Every time you walk up and down the stairs of the building where you stay, or the place where you work, pay close attention to every step you take, even your breathing. When you wash your hands, pay attention to all the preparations, the sound and feel of water, the movement of water, the scent of the soap. When you get into a bus or a car for a few seconds, observe the flow of breath. Be aware of the silent power of the present. You will then replicate to some extent how Swami behaved every moment of his waking life. Some years ago, Brother Popat here had brought a team from the United Kingdom who presented a play here. As a backdrop and as a welcome to Swami, the entire Sai Kulwant Hall was festooned with colors and streamings. A group of young men dressed in the uniform of the Queen's Guards were made to stand to rigid attention to welcome Swami as Swami was coming out of the living quarters. Some of us at the veranda were shaking our heads and saying that Swami would not at all like this display, which to some of us seemed childish and garish. We were waiting anxiously. Swami came out of Yajur Mandir. As he came out, I was watching Swami's face. There was an expression of childlike wonder. Slowly he took in everything. The colored balloons fluttering in the air, the multicolored streaming, and the air of festivity all around. Without a trace of self-consciousness, in spite of the eyes of the devotees of all the world on him, God looked at man's creation with love, delight, and wonder. He was in fact reveling in the present. When Swami was once asked, "How are you always happy?" he replied, "I am not bothered about the future. I do not brood over the past. I always live in the present." Another instance. When Swami had the fall for the second time, he had not come for darshan for several days. Then one day we were told that he would come for darshan that evening. We were all waiting in the Kulwant Hall with bated breath. How will he come? Will he come in a car? In a golf cart? Or will he come walking? And suddenly there was Swami in a wheelchair. We were feeling self-conscious. Swami had said only the other day that nothing would happen to him. Why did he not cure himself? I looked at my neighbor to see whether he was also thinking the same thing. I craned my neck to see how was Swami feeling. Was he looking self-conscious? Absolutely not. He was totally unconcerned. He was just living the moment. He was taking a letter here, taking a letter there, chiding a student, patting another student on the back. Absolute equipoise. Rest of us were feeling self-conscious, not Swami. He was enjoying the ride. Swami could have cured himself with a flick of his little finger, but he did not. He was only trying to demonstrate to us that whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. Always work with it, not against it. Make it your friend and ally, not your enemy. Accept and then act. This will instantaneously cause you a lot of happiness. He was also trying to demonstrate that all the negativity that we enjoy is caused by an accumulation of the psychological time and denial of the present. Avoid thinking too much of the future and too much of the past. Think mainly of the present. Unease, anxiety, tension, worry, and all forms of fear are caused by too much future and not enough present. Guilt, regret, resentment, grievance, sadness, bitterness, all these are caused by too much of the past and too little of the present. That is exactly how Swami operated every moment of his life. When he passed by you and looked at you, the only thing that mattered to him was the moment. His whole cosmic attention was focused on you. You were longing for that look. You wept at that look. You were transformed by that look. Because that look was meant for you, not at your neighbor. Not at yesterday's you, not at tomorrow's you, but at today's you sitting before Swami. And you melted. As soon as you honor the present moment, all unhappiness happily melt away. Whatever Swami did, even the most simple act that he performed, was imbued with a sense of quality, love and care. Because he always acted out of the awareness of the present moment. Zen masters call this state the flash of insight, a state of intuitive consciousness, and the moment of no mind and total presence as Satori. Swami was constantly in that state. Awareness of the moment is necessary to become aware of the world around you. Have any one of you ever gazed into the infinity of space on a clear night? And when you gazed, were you not awestruck by the stillness and absolute graciousness about all that? Have you listened, truly listened, to the sound of a mountain stream in the forest? Or to your song of a blackbird on a quiet summer evening? To become aware of this, you need a full attention to the present. And in that environment of the present, search for the soul. Look within. Find the real you. That is the droplet of the omnipresent God. This is exactly the truth that Swami was trying to tell us. But we did not understand him. We were seeking God in him. He told us that God is within each one of us. When he was asked the question, who are you God? He thrust Godhood back to us. He said, find out who you are, you will realize that you too are God. We did not believe him. We preferred our gods to be living in the skies, preferably a very handsome being, preferably blue in color, wearing a crown, but essentially living something outside us. Who will grant us boons like children receiving a candy? We were seeking liberation without understanding the word. Swami once asked a woman devotee, what do you want? She replied, liberation, Swami. Swami asked, what, right now? The lady got frightened and said, no, Swami, not now. Later, when I become much older, now I'll accept enlightenment. In fact, Swami had this impish sense of humor. It's the same impishness that made Swami tell a little boy who was watching with great amazement at all the materializations he did in the interview room. He turned to the boy and asked him, shall I change you too into a little girl? It was the same divine humor that made Swami retort to a devotee who had once suggested to him that maybe Swami could solve India's problems if he can only change all the waters of the Indian Ocean into oil. Swami reported to have said, if I did that, somebody like you would probably throw a lighted match into it. On another occasion, when Kasturi was seated next to him, he requested Swami to give him a mantra. Swami wanted to know why Kasturi needed this mantra. Kasturi replied, why Swami? To get closer to God. Thereupon Swami moved towards Kasturi with his body almost touching Kasturi's and asked him with a twinkle in his eyes, how much closer do you want to get to God? Now, liberation is not something that can be granted or something which can be plucked out of a tree. All of us are liberated to the extent that we can be liberated at that moment. No one person is more liberated than another. Returning to enlightenment, enlightenment conjures up a vision of some outstanding achievement. The ego of those who have received it would rather keep it that way. Enlightenment is nothing but a state of connectedness with something immeasurable and beyond. Something that is paradoxically and essentially you. It is your true nature beyond name and form. It is this inability to see this connectedness that gives rise to the illusion of separation. Rama once asked Hanuman, who are you? Hanuman replied, when I think I am the body, I am the servant. When I identify myself with the mind, I am your devotee. At the atmic level, I and you are one. And to reach that atmic level, you must go inwards and realize your own value. Swami tells the story of a beggar who was sitting by the side of the road for over 30 years. One day a stranger passed by. Spare me some change, said the beggar, mechanically holding out his cap. I have nothing to give you, says the stranger, but asks, what is it you are sitting on? Why, an old box, says the beggar. I've been sitting on it for the last 30 years. Ever looked inside? Asks the stranger. Oh, what's the point? It's an old box. Have a look inside, insisted the stranger. The beggar managed to pry open the box. To his amazement, he found that the pot was filled with gold. And when each one of us go deeply into ourselves, we too will discover the gold. We will go into the realms of no mind and realize the true state of pure consciousness. In that state, you will feel your presence with such intensity, such joy, that all thinking, emotion, body and external world would become insignificant in comparison. At this point comes an overwhelming sense of peace, love, joy, bliss, and an experience of oneness with God. This story reflects the words of Khalil Gibran, who once said, don't go outside the house to see the flowers, my friend. Don't bother with that exertion. Inside your body there are flowers, and each flower has 1,000 petals. And that was my second perception. What did Swami mean when he said, my life is my message? That life was a life of alertness, awareness, and living in the present, every moment of the day. And my third perception of post-Mahasamadhi is this. A devotee once asked Swami, Swami, during moments of extreme anguish, I pray to you for guidance, but I do not hear your voice. Swami said, when you are fully attuned to me, your voice is my voice. But such surrender requires not only devotion, but action too. When we pray, Asato Ma Sadgamaya, when we ask him to move us from asat to sat, from darkness to light, from death to immortality, we must remember that it involves a long journey. Without taking even the first step, if we sit in a corner and say, lead me, we will stay exactly where we are. If you are to be led, we must have the capacity to follow. devoid of his overwhelming physical presence these 3 years, somehow, somewhere, many of us seem to have become lesser followers. One of the frequent questions I was being asked these last 3 years, particularly people coming from abroad, is this: why has Prashant Reliyam become devoid of love? Why are people here less caring? Why does this have to happen in a place which was once a citadel of love? I necessarily had to give political answers to these questions in the past. But my honest answer should have been, I do not know why. Swami used to tell the Chinnakatha of a boy who accidentally picked up a precious gem, bright and round, sparkling all around. Not knowing its value, he was using it as a marble to roll it on the ground and play with his friends. One day a merchant who happened to pass by realized its value and offered rupees 50 to his mother in exchange. The mother refused, as she now felt it had some value. She told her son that henceforth he will not play with the gem outside the house, but he will play with it inside the house in the garden. The merchant returned the next day and offered rupees 500. On hearing this, the mother told the child, you will not play with this in the garden also, you will play with it inside the house. Not to be outdone, the merchant upped the offer next day to rupees 5,000. The mother immediately took it to a bank, put the same marble, the one her child played with the dust on the street, in a safe deposit vault. Swami was that marble whose value we were totally unaware. We played with this gem in the street unaware of its value. Instead of keeping it in our heart as the most precious treasure, instead of protecting it like the apple of our eye, instead of using it as a key to illumination and liberation, we were seeking from it toys and trinkets, promotions and safe conduct. And today, 3 years after Mahasamadhi, particularly during this Navratri, which signifies the end of darkness and the beginning of knowledge, where the theme of Vedas are entirely reflected, where it's a period to transcend all limitations, all of us need to ask ourselves some questions. Have we been true to the memory of Sai? Have we acted post-Mahasamadhi consistent with our master's teachings? Is our mind led forward into ever-widening thought and action? Have we narrowed our divisiveness? Have we acted without ego, envy, jealousy and hatred? Have we eschewed hypocrisy and sham? Have we preached unity of word, thought and deed? Do our words come out from the depth of truth? And above all, have we loved our fellow men? And to find true answers to these questions, we cannot look at our neighbor, but look into us, deep within us, tug our heartstrings, and then find the answer. That is the imperative of Dava. Our greatest privilege is that God came as man, circumscribing all his powers to accommodate a human form. Daivam Manusha Rupam. What greater love can a creator show to the creation? Sai Ram.
It is our supreme good fortune that we are able to sit at the Sai Sannidhi and contemplate on our beloved master, his teachings and his mission. Ms. Suma Rao so beautifully expounded upon how our Bhagwan is a perfect confluence of Purusha and Prakriti, total detachment and total involvement. For us to assimilate this principle of unity into our being, we must submit in complete obedience to our inner self. Ms. Rao pointed out that this process consists of three principles of centering, aligning and awakening. Professor Anant Raman in his talk reminded us the magnificence of Lord Sai, his life and his mission. Sir's talk was a lovely garland of sweet experiences, each of which exemplified the Mahima of Sai. Swami has often declared, "Love is my form, bliss is my food." Our Lord was such an inexhaustible reservoir of joy and taught us that being here and now with complete awareness and mindfulness is the key to steady perennial joy. The message of his life is of alertness, awareness and living in the present. Dear Most Bhagwan, I pray, bless us to constantly anchor ourselves on you, our indweller. Help us stop seeking and searching and instead seeing you always in all ways. I now humbly pray to our beloved Bhagwan to bless us all with his divine message. Bhagwan's message will be followed by a musical offering by Anantapur campus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Sairam.
ఒకటి లోక వాసన,
వన్ ఈస్ ది లవ్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ద వరల్డ్,
రెండవది దేహ వాసన,
ద సెకండ్ వన్ ఈస్ ది లవ్ ఫర్ ది ఫిజికల్ బాడీ,
మూడవది శాస్త్ర వాసన,
ది థర్డ్ వన్ ఈస్ ది లవ్ ఫర్ ది స్క్రిప్చర్స్.
ఈ లోక వాసన అంటే ఏమిటి?
What do you mean by the infatuation of this world?
ఈ భౌతికమైనటువంటి జగత్తులో,
this physical world,
పేరు ప్రతిష్టలు తీవాలి,
we should get a good name and a fame.
అందరూ నాకంటే నీచులుగా ఉండాలి,
everyone should be,
అందరికంటే నేనే గొప్పవాడు కావాలి,
I should always be greater than all others,
అందరూ నన్నే గౌరవించాలి,
everyone should respect me.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క కొన్ని సంకుచితమైనటువంటి భావాలను పెంచుకోవటము,
this kind of the narrow,
ఈ లోకములో అన్ని రకములైనటువంటి భోగ భాగ్యములు అనుభవించాలి,
I should enjoy all the comforts,
ధనగల వస్తువు ఆహ్లాదులతో తృతువుగాలి,
I should command all the wealth and all the vehicles,
ఎంత కాలము,
for how long this physical world will last,
కలలో చూచిన మేడల మిద్దెలు కన్నులు విప్పిన లేవు కదా,
those mansions which you have seen in the dream, once you open your eyes, they are not seen.
ఏ భోగ భాగ్యములు మనం అనుభవిస్తున్నామో నిద్రావస్థలో అవన్నీ కూడా శూన్యమైపోతున్నాయి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ ప్లెజర్స్ అండ్ కంఫర్ట్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఎంజాయింగ్ ఇన్ ది వేకింగ్ స్టేట్,
ఒక అవస్థలో ఉండి రెండవ అవస్థలో కనిపించినటువంటి వస్తువులు శాశ్వతమైన అవుతాయి.
హౌ కెన్ యూ కాల్ సచ్ థింగ్స్ యాజ్ పర్మనెంట్ థింగ్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ నాట్
అసత్య స్వరూపాలు,
దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ అంట్రూ.
సత్యమనగా త్రికాల భాగ్యం సత్యం, మూడు కాలంలో ఎందుకు మార్పు చెందినటువంటిది ఏదో అదే సత్యం.
Truth is one which does not undergo any modifications in the
three times. ఈ భౌతికమైనటువంటి యొక్క గౌరవ ప్రతిష్టలన్నీ కూడా ఇది కేవలము అసత్యము అనిత్యములు.
This physical and worldly name and fame are untrue.
చేసి
you should enquire,
ఈ లోక వాసనను దూరం చేసుకోవాలి.
You should enquire on these lines,
ఇంకా దేహ వాసన
from, and then the infatuation or the love of the body.
నా ఆరోగ్యం చక్కగా ఉంటుండాలి, మంచి పుష్టిగా సంతృష్టిగా ఉంటుండాలి,
I must enjoy good health, I must always be strong,
నేను మంచి అందమైనటువంటి వారిగా ఉంటుండాలి,
I must be very handsome.
ఈ అందానికి వేసుకునేటువంటి పౌడర్లు స్నోలు ఎన్ని వేసుకున్నప్పటికీ భగవంతుడు ఇచ్చినటువంటి రంగు మాత్రం మారదు, అది శాశ్వతంగా ఉంటుంది.
Whatever cosmetics and powders are applied, the color which is given to you by God cannot be changed.
నీవు వేసుకునేటువంటి వన్నీ కూడా అనిత్యములే.
All those things which you apply,
5 నిమిషములు ఉండేటువంటివే,
they last only for 5 minutes.
మన శాశ్వతమైనటువంటి రంగు భగవంతుడు ఇచ్చిన రంగే.
The color given to you by the Lord alone is permanent.
కనుక దానిని సత్యమైనటువంటి రీతిగా మనం తీసుకోవాలి.
యూ షుడ్ టేక్ దట్ కాంప్లెక్షన్ యాజ్ ది కరెక్ట్ వన్.
ఈ దేహం అనేటువంటిది కేవలం మలమూత్ర దుర్గంధ మాంస రక్తంతో కూడినటువంటిది.
దిస్ ఫిజికల్ బాడీ కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ యూజ్లెస్ అండ్ అన్వాంటెడ్.
దీనిని ఎంతవరకు అంతవరకు మనం జాగ్రత్తగా కాపాడుకోవాలి.
యూ షుడ్ పే యాజ్ మచ్ అటెన్షన్ యాజ్ రిక్వైర్డ్.
ఎందుకంటే దివ్యత్వమైన దైవత్వాన్ని పొందడానికి ఇది ఒక ఆధారము.
The reason as to why you should care for the body is it helps you to reach divinity.
కాని ఇదే శాస్త్రమని దీనిపైన ఒక మమకారమును అభిమానం ఉంచుకొని దీనిలో మనం కాలమును వ్యర్థం చేయకూడదు.
We should not waste any time developing a sort of special attachment for this physical body which is impermanent.
ఎంత మనం అలంకారం చేసుకున్నప్పటికీ ఇది ఒట్టి వికారమే.
Whatever decorations and whatever
ఉన్న ఆకారం మాత్రం మారదు.
యువర్ రియల్ ఫామ్
ఒక్కొక్క గంట రెండు గంటలంతా కూడా డ్రెస్సింగ్ రూమ్ లో డ్రెస్ చేస్తుంటారు.
సమ్ పీపుల్ స్పెండ్ అన్ అవర్ ఆర్ టు.
కాలము వ్యర్థము.
దిస్ టైమ్ స్పెండ్ ఇన్ ది డ్రెస్సింగ్
నీటి బుడగ వంటి దేహము ఆరోగ్యం మనకు అత్యవసరం.
దిస్ బాడీ విచ్ ఇస్ కంపేరబుల్ టు ఎ బబుల్
అదే హెల్త్ ఈజ్ వెల్త్ అని.
బట్ ది హెల్త్ ఈజ్ వెల్త్.
మనము ఈ దివ్యత్వాన్ని పొందేంత వరకు మనం ఈ జీవితంలో సార్థకత పొందేంత వరకును మనం ఈ లోకంలో ఉండినంత వరకును దీనికి రోగములు రానివ్వకుండా బలహీనత కానివ్వకుండా పరాధీనము కాకుండా చూసుకోవటం అది మన కర్తవ్యమే.
As long as we live in the world and so far as we have to attain divinity, it is necessary to keep this body physically fit and also comfortable.
కనుక దేహవాసన కూడా ఇది చాలా ఒక విధమైనటువంటి విరుద్ధమైనటువంటి దుఃఖమే.
And having excessive attachment to this body is also a source of trouble and sorrow.
Inka shastra vasana
and attachment to the shastras.
Ee shastramulu enni vidhamulaga manu chadivinappatikini vallinchinappatikini nerchukunnappatikini
however much you may study the scriptures, however much you may repeat them,
goppa shastradvudini peru pondinappatikini
you may get the name of a very great scholar,
athaniki shanti undadu.
He may not have peace.
Karanam emiti?
What is the reason?
ఈ శాస్త్రంలో ఏ కొంచెం మర్చిపోయినా అతనికి దుఃఖమే.
If he forgets a little of his scriptures, he becomes unhappy.
ఎదురు వ్యక్తితో ఓడిపోయినా దుఃఖమే.
If he is defeated by another person, he becomes
sorrowful. నిరంతరము కూడాను ఈ దుఃఖమును కాపాడుకునే నిమిత్తమే తాను అనేక రకములుగా వల్ల వేస్తూ రావాలి.
In order to free himself from this kind of sorrow, he should go on repeating these shastras.
ఈ శాస్త్ర దుఃఖమనేటువంటిది మరింత బాధాకరమైనటువంటిది.
This grief for sorrow arising out of these scriptures is rather strange.
ఈ శాస్త్రం అంటే ఏంటి? శాసించినటువంటి విషయాన్ని చక్కగా నడుచుకోవటమే.
When we say శాస్త్ర, it means following the path laid down.
కేవలం గ్రంథపరిచయం మాత్రమే శాస్త్రము కానేరదు.
Acquaintance of the text cannot be
shastram. Acharana pavitrame nijamaina shastram.
Following what is given in the book, that is a real shastra.
Kanuka,
meaning of shastra.
Ee mala avarana vichhepamulaku ee yokka lokavasana dehavasana shastravasana ee moodu kudanu cheratam chetane manavudu marinta murkhudaga maaripothunnadu.
Man is becoming extremely foolish on account of combining these three types of attachment to the body, to the world and to the
కనుక మనం ఏమీ తీసుకుని రాలేదు, ఏమీ తీసుకుని పోలేము.
We have not brought anything with us. We are not going to take anything with us.
ఏమితా కొని వచ్చే?
What has he brought with him?
ఏమితా కొని పోవు?
What is he going to take with him?
పుట్టినప్పుడు మరి చచ్చునప్పుడు.
When he is born or when he is going to die.
ధనము ఎచ్చటికేగు.
Where will money go?
తానేగు నెచ్చటికి.
Where will he go?
చెప్పరయ్య మీరు ఒప్పుకుందు.
I will agree. You kindly come forward and explain this.
ఎవ్వరు చెప్పలేరు.
No one can tell.
ఇవన్నీ కూడాను కేవలము ఒక విధమైనటువంటి భ్రాంతితో మానవుని బంధించేటువంటి యొక్క త్రాళ్లు.
All these may be compared to the ropes of delusion which bind man.
ఈ బంధంను విమోచన గావించుకునేటువంటి యొక్క దివ్యత్వానికి దారితీవాలి.
We have to make efforts to go beyond all these bondages to reach divinity.
కనుక ఈ అస్థిరమైన లోకమునందు
ఇన్ దిస్ ఇంపర్మనెంట్ వరల్డ్
సుస్థిరమైన స్థానమును చేరే నిమిత్తమై
ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు రీచ్ ఎ పర్మనెంట్ గోల్
పవిత్రమైన మార్గమును ప్రబోధించినటువంటిదే వేదం.
ఇట్ ఇస్ వేద విచ్ హాస్ ఎక్స్పౌండెడ్ సీక్రెట్ పాత్.
అయితే దీనికి అతీతమైనటువంటి దానిని వేదం బోధించలేదు.
వేద హాస్ నాట్ టాట్ థింగ్స్ విచ్ హావ్ ట్రాన్సెండెడ్ దీస్ లిమిట్స్.
ఎంతవరకు ఈ యొక్క ప్రాకృతమైనటువంటి జీవితం గడుపుతుంటామో అంతవరకు ఈ ప్రాకృత జీవితాన్ని పవిత్రమైన మార్గంగా రూపొందింపచేయటానికి మాత్రమే వేదం బోధిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
వేద హాస్ ఎక్స్పౌండెడ్ ఓన్లీ వేస్ ఆఫ్ శాంక్టిఫైయింగ్ ద ఫిజికల్ లివింగ్ అండ్ ది ఓన్లీ లైఫ్.
ఆనందము కూడాను వేదములో ఉన్నదని కూడాను తాను తెలపలేదు.
Veda has also not said that it can confer bliss or delight.
ఈ దివ్యత్వమనేటువంటి యొక్క ఆనందము మనకు ఎప్పుడు లభిస్తుంది అంటే దానినే బోధించింది.
It has only said when we can get that kind of bliss.
న ప్రజయ ధనేన త్యాగే నైకి అమృతత్వ మానసు. ఈ త్యాగం వలనే మనకు ఆనందం లభిస్తుంది కానీ అంతకు మించి ఈ వేదం చెప్పలేదు.
Veda has only said that one can attain the liberation only through sacrifice. Beyond that,
అయితే తాత్కాలిక ఆనందం ఎన్నో బోధించింది.
But in the meanwhile, it has expounded a number of things which can give us temporary joy.
ఆహారం ముందు పెట్టుకున్నప్పుడు భుజించే సమయంలో చాలా ఆనందం వేస్తుంది.
When you partake food at a time when you are hungry, it gives you joy.
ఈ ఆనందం ఎంత సేపు?
For how long this joy lasts?
తిరిగి ఒక రెండు గంటల సేపే.
For another 2 hours.
తిరిగి ఆకలి వేస్తుంది.
Again you will suffer from hunger.
తిరిగి విచారం బయలుదేరుతుంది.
Again there will be
ఆకలి ఉన్నప్పుడంతా అన్నం తినమని బోధిస్తుంది వేదం.
Veda can only teach.
అయితే ఈ అన్నమును కూడా నువ్వు ఏ రీతిగా భుజించాలి, ఎటువంటి అన్నమును భుజించాలి, ఎటువంటి కాలంలో భుజించాలి, ఎట్లా భుజించాలి అనేటువంటిది కూడా నువ్వు వేదం నేర్పుతూ వచ్చింది.
Veda has said that when you feel hungry, by partaking food you can satisfy it. How to take it, when to take it, in what proportions
also. అది భోజించినటువంటి యొక్క సారం.
That is expounded in Chamaka.
ఈ నమకము లోపల అన్ని త్యాగాలు చేస్తూ వచ్చింది.
Namaka has only expounded things out of sacrifice, giving up.
Namaskaramu ani okati.
One is namaskara.
Ante mamakaramu lekunda cheyatame namaskaramu.
The real meaning of namaskara is
mama anetundi daniki namama anetundi daniki enta vyathyasamo.
What a lot of difference is there. This is mine and
mama ante nadi nadi nadi.
Mine mine mine, that is
ide oka vyadhi.
This is the disease. This is one type of disease.
Nadika, nadika. Dinine vedamu neti 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 neti. Ide vedantam yokka saram. Kadidi 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 kadidi.
The Vedanta has expounded not this, not this, not this. In those terms it has expounded.
Dehamu nenu kadu.
Physical body,
manasu nenu kadu.
I am not the mind.
Idi na manasu. Idi na dehamu.
This is my body.
Na dehamu ante dehamuku manasuku viruddhamga untundadi kada.
When I say this is my body, I am
నేను వేరు దేహం వేరుగా ఉంటుంది కదా.
I am different and body is different.
ఇది నా కర్చీఫ్ అనుకుంటే ఈ కర్చీఫ్ వేరు నేను వేరు.
When I say this is my కర్చీఫ్,
కాబట్టి నే దేహం అనుకుంటే దేహం వేరు నేను వేరు.
When I say this is my body,
దేహం నేను కాదు.
I am not the body.
మనసు నేను కాదు.
I am not the mind.
బుద్ధి నేను కాదు.
I am not the intelligence.
చిత్తం నేను కాదు.
I am not
చిత్తం. అంతకన్నా నేను కాదు.
I am not
you. ఇవన్నీ నేను కాదు, నేను కాదు, నేను కాదు అన్ని పోయిన తర్వాత ఏది నిలిచిందో అదే నేను, అదే ఆత్మ.
When you go on denying like this, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, whatever is left out or denying all these things is
ఆత్మ. ఒక్కటి ఒక్కటి.
There is only one thing.
అది ఉండటం చేతనే ఈ యొక్క మనసు, బుద్ధి, చిత్తము, ఇంద్రియం అంతకన్నా అన్ని తమ తమ పనులు తాము చేస్తున్నాయి.
Intelligence, mind, sense organs, body have been able to perform only because of the existence of Atma.
Atma tattvanu manam gurtinchukodaniki tagina krushi cheyali.
We have to make efforts to understand such Atma.
Adi vedatheetamainatunti yokka vedantam.
And that is Vedanta, which transcends all those things which are expounded in Veda.
Ee vedantamulo ye kinchit bhagamaina manam kontha varaku anubhavinchadaniki prayatninchali.
We have to make efforts to experience at least in a small measure this Vedanta.
Kanuka sadhyamainanta varaku nu sakarmalu cheyandi.
As far as possible, do
paropakara sambandhamaina sevalu salpandi.
Do serve others.
జనసేవ చెయ్యండి.
డూ సర్వ్ వేరియస్
సమాజ సేవలో పాల్గొనండి.
డూ సర్వ్ ది సొసైటీ.
భగవత్ నామాన్ని ఉచ్చరించండి.
చాంట్ ది నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్.
అన్ని కూడా ప్రేమతో మనం చెయ్యాలి.
డూ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ విత్ లవ్ ఇన్ యువర్ హార్ట్.
ఏదో ఒక విధమైనటువంటి మెకానికల్ గా చేయకూడదు.
డూ నాట్ డూ ఎనీథింగ్ మెకానికలీ.
కేవలం ఏదో చెప్పినారే జనసేవ చేయాలి, సమాజ సేవ చేయాలని ఒక ఫోర్స్ తో పోకూడదు.
You should not do any service by force.
హృదయపూర్వకమైనటువంటి ఆ ఫోర్స్ తో రావాలి.
You should do every service with all the force coming from your heart.
Force is a source.
External is the force and the source is the inner heart.
ప్రేమముదిత మనసికో రామ 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 రామ
రామ రామ రామ శ్రీ రామ 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 సముద్ర సుఖద నావ ఏక రామ నామ
సముద్ర సుఖద నావ ఏక రామ
నామ సముద్ర సుఖద నావ ఏక రామ నామ శాంతి సుఖ నిదాన దివ్య రామ నామ
పరమ శాంతి సుఖ నిదాన దివ్య రామ నామ
నిరాధార గోధార ఏక 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 రామ నామ
మాత పిత బంధు సఖ సభకి రామ నామ
మాత పిత బంధు సఖ సభకి రామ నామ
భక్త జనర జీవన ఘన ఏక రామ నామ జనర జీవన ఘన ఏక రామ నామ
of infinite love and light. You are the soul purifier of all
and the source of our inner strength. At your lotus feet, dearest Lord, we, the students and the staff of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur Campus, humbly offer a musical rendition entitled Madhura Varshini. Salutations to thee, Lord Vigneshwara, the protector of the universe, the harbinger of auspiciousness, the remover of obstacles, the source of compassion, forgiveness, and fame. O Lord of Partipuri, you are the eternal preceptor. Save us from the darkness of bondage, from the cycle of life and death. Lead us on through the path of eternal happiness and guide us with the light of your ever-flowing love. The nectar and cooler than the moonlight is your name, your form, your smile, your word, indeed everything that is you and yours. Dear Lord, you are truly sweeter than the sweetness itself.
Madhuram, Madhuram, Neenamame Madhuram.
Christ, Lord, thy feet is the only panacea to all problems. Thy feet is the only refuge to all the desolate. Thy feet is the only destination of all paths. Thy feet is the only solace to every soul.
Jina charan kaadi naagana झपकते ही हुआ तुमसे प्यार, उसी प्यार और श्रद्धा से करे तुम्हारा इंतजार। हृदय मंदिर में प्रेम की ज्योति जलाई है हमने, आओ प्यारे साई अब तो आओ।
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram.
సుందరుడు సుమనోహరుడైన ఆ సుగుణాభిరాముని కన్నులారా కాంచి తరించాలని నిరీక్షించిన గుహుడు తన ముగ్ధ మనోహరమైన భక్తిని తెలియజేసిన విధంగా ఆ సాయిరాముని చల్లని పాదాల చెంత మన హృదయ కుసుమాలను సమర్పిద్దాం. మొనరించిన శ్రీరాముని కమనీయ గాథను ఎరిగిన గుహుడు,
ఆగు బాబు ఆగు,
let us join together and express our heartfelt gratitude to our most beloved Saima.
Jaya Maa, Jaya Maa, ಮಾಯಿ ಜನನಿ ಅಂಬೆ ಭವಾನಿ ಮಾ.
Thank you. गाई हरे भक्त जना संरक्षक भक्त जना संरक्षक पति महेश्वरा ओम जय जगदीश हरे शिवतनासी करा सर्वा प्राणपते स्वामी सर्वा प्राणपते आश्रित कल्पलतीका आश्रित कल्पलतीका अवधारा ओम जय जगदीश पिता गुरु दैव मरियन्तयुनीवे स्वामी मरियन्तयुनीवे नाद ब्रह्म जगन्नाथ नाद ब्रह्म जगन्नाथ
With the divine blessings of our most beloved Bhagawan, tomorrow morning we will be entering the fifth day of the Veda Purusha Saptaha Gyan Yajnam in the Purnachandra Auditorium, which will be open for entry at 7 a.m. The morning proceedings will remain the same. At 8 a.m. the students and staff of Bhagawan will take Pradakshina in Sai Kulwant Hall before they proceed for the Gram Seva. At 9:30 there will be Mangal Aarti in the Purnachandra Hall, after which devotees can come to Sai Kulwant Hall to receive Bhagwan's Divya Darshan, which will close at 10:45 a.m. Those who wish to stay back in the Purnachandra Hall after the Mangal Aarti at 9:30 can remain seated to attend the further proceedings of the Yajnam. The evening session in Sai Kulwant Hall will commence at 4:30 with Veda chanting. The fifth day's proceeding of Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha will commence at 4:40 with the invocatory Vedam chanting by the students of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of High Learning, Anantapur campus. There will be two talks by the faculty members of the university. The first speaker is Dr. Ms. Deepa Sitaraman, Assistant Professor, Department of Physics, Anantapur campus. The next speaker is Sri Sanjay Sahani, Associate Professor, Department of Commerce and Director of the Vrindavan campus. The two talks will be followed by Bhagwan's divine message. We'll then have a dance presentation by the students of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanti Dance Group. The evening program will then conclude with bhajans and Mangalarti, followed by Bhagwan's Divya Darshan. Jai Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Bhagavan Shri Sathya Sai Baba Vari Divya Anugraha Kripa Katakshamulato Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajnam Repatito Digvijayavantamga Aidava Rojuloki Praveshinchabothondi Bhaktulanta Repu Udayam 7 Gantala Nundi Purnachandra Sabha Mandapam Yandu Samavesamai Yajnani Tilakinchagalaru Udayam 8 Gantalaki Shri Sathya Sai Vidya Samsthala Vidyardulu Sai Kulvan Sabha Mandapamlo స్వామి వారికి ప్రదక్షిణ చేసుకుని గ్రామ సేవా యజ్ఞానికి తరలి వెళ్తారు. రేపు ఉదయం 9:30 పూర్ణచంద్ర సభా మండపంలో స్వామివారికి మంగళహారతి సమర్పించబడుతుంది. అనంతరం భక్తులు సాయి కుల్వన్ సభా మండపానికి వచ్చి స్వామివారి దర్శనం చేసుకోవచ్చు, లేదా పూర్ణచంద్ర సభా మండపంలో యజ్ఞాన్ని వీక్షించసాగచ్చు. సాయి కుల్వన్ సభా మండపంలో స్వామివారి దర్శన భాగ్యం 10:45 మంగళహారతితో ముగియును. రేపు సాయంత్రం నిత్య వేద పారాయణం అనంతరం 4:40 శ్రీ సత్యసాయి విశ్వవిద్యాలయం అనంతపూర్ క్యాంపస్ విద్యార్థినులు వేదోచ్చారణతో ప్రశాంతి విద్వన్ మహాసభని ప్రారంభిస్తారు. 5వ రోజులోకి అడుగుడబోతున్న ప్రశాంతి విద్వన్ మహాసభలో రేపు ఇద్దరు వక్తలు ప్రసంగిస్తారు. ప్రథమంగా శ్రీ సత్యసాయి విశ్వవిద్యాలయం అనంతపూర్ క్యాంపస్ భౌతిక శాస్త్ర విభాగంలో అసిస్టెంట్ ప్రొఫెసర్ గా పనిచేస్తున్న కుమారి డాక్టర్ దీపా సీతారామన్ గారు మరియు బృందావన్ క్యాంపస్ కామర్స్ విభాగంలో అసోసియేట్ ప్రొఫెసర్ గా మరియు క్యాంపస్ డైరెక్టర్ గా పనిచేస్తున్న శ్రీ సంజయ్ సహాని గారు ప్రసంగిస్తారు. తరువాత స్వామివారి దివ్య ఉపన్యాసం. ప్రసంగాల అనంతరం ప్రశాంతి నాట్య బృందం వారు సాంస్కృతిక కార్యక్రమాన్ని స్వామివారికి భక్తితో సమర్పిస్తారు. రేపటి సాయంత్ర కార్యక్రమం భజన మరియు మంగళహారతితో ముగియును. అనంతరం స్వామివారి దివ్య దర్శనం. జై సాయిరాం.